Dan Walters has been a journalist for over 63 years, spending all but a few of those years working for California newspapers. At one point in his career at age 22, he was the nation's youngest daily newspaper editor. After three newspaper editor positions, he joined the Sacramento Union's Capital Bureau in 1975, and in 81, he began writing the state's only daily newspaper column devoted to California political, economic, and social events. In 1984, he moved to the Sacramento Bee. He's written more than 10,000 columns. Midway 2017, Dan left the Sacramento Bee, went online to Cal Matters. You can find him at calmatters.org. In 1986, his book, The New California, Facing the 21st Century, was published, its first edition. He's also the founding editor of the California Political Almanac, co-author of a book on lobbying entitled The Third House, Lobbyists, Money and Power in Sacramento. And he's contributed chapters to two other books, Remaking California and The New Political Geography of California. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Dan Walters.
Thank you, Mark. Always happy to be on your program.
I appreciate. I know you come on. I try to get you on every 3 months. You're my favorite guest. I first met you when you came down to Santa Barbara, the UCSB Economic Forecast Study. You just celebrated 50 years, September 24th in Sacramento. There was a Cal Matters 10th anniversary and celebrating your 50 years, and attendees could enter a raffle and win a private dinner with Dan. Who won the private dinner and will you marry her?
No, who won the private dinner was a college official, a junior college official from Weed, W-E-E-D, which most people don't even know exists. It's a small town up near the Oregon border. And there's a community college there, and this official won the raffle, and I had dinner with him and his wife later. He's an interesting guy. He spent much of his life as a California highway patrolman, retired as a lieutenant, and then became a college official, college administrator. Interesting career change.
Yeah, that's quite an arc. I had a client who was a retired highway patrolman, and he ended up giving me photographs. I don't know if it was legal for him to share, but they were all these black and white photographs of horrific car accidents. And yeah, it's just really bizarre. I can't imagine being a police officer and having to face those things.
Back in my days as a police reporter many, many years ago, I used to go to these traffic crashes all the time, and they are pretty horrendous. One of them really sticks in my mind. It was a newlyweds on their honeymoon, and they were both killed in a crash near Eureka, which where I was working at the time.
Yeah, those things you can't erase from your memory.
As I pointed out in a story I wrote, there were still rice in the back seat of the car that had been thrown at him, and they left it. So they'd only literally been married one day, and they were both killed in the crash.
You know, so many things in the newspapers cover things like this, and it's so many tragedies. And just to throw this in, I think on September 1st, I don't remember if I asked you or not, but I wrote this down. Do you think I took a test drive in a Tesla Cybertruck a week ago, and they put the auto self-driving feature on to take me from the dealer to Whole Foods, and you're supposed to sit there with your hands on your legs and, you know, be ready to grab the wheel? It was amazing. And, you know, the reason why I'm bringing it up is people are complaining about it. And I think Waymo, driverless taxi cabs killed a dog and killed a cat and then injured a dog, and people are in an uproar, but people driving commit so many more, you know, offenses and accidents. What do you think about the self-driving cars?
Well, it sounds good. I don't think I would ever want one. I would be bored to death. I'd like to drive. And so I wouldn't want one just for that reason. I enjoy driving, and I always have enjoyed. And yeah, I can rip off 800 miles in one day on the road, with no problem at all.
Well,
I drove from Sacramento to Los Angeles and back one day.
Oh, God.
I've driven from Sacramento to Phoenix in one day. That's about 800 miles. I've done it many times. Drove down to Arizona 800 miles, picked up a boat, and drove back to Sacramento the next day. 1,600 miles in 2 days. I mean, it just doesn't bother me. I enjoy driving. It's not tiresome at all. It's much less tiring than sitting on an airplane, I'll tell you.
And I enjoy driving too. I'm not sure how often I'd use it, but if you get to the point where they allow you to sit in the back seat and you go out to a party and you have too many drinks, it'd be nice not to have to order an Uber, but have your own driverless taxi cab in your own car. So
I suppose I don't drink, so I would never have that experience. So.
Well, maybe you should start. My guest is Dan Walters, a syndicated columnist. You can find him at calmatters.org. Do you think they'll discount these electric cars since the $7,500 tax credit expired September 30th?
Well, I think that the sales of ZEVs, as they call them, zero emission vehicles, has been plateaued for a couple of years now. And I think that they'll probably start to declining. They're really not all that popular, really. And, I think it's almost a doomed program. Even without what's going on in Washington, it's kind of not meeting the expectations that people thought they would, whether it's battery life or the cost or whatever the reasons are. ZEVs have not been selling particularly well, even in California. Kind of plateaued out. Got up to about 25% of sales and hasn't moved. And the state expected it to be about 35% by now, and it was supposed to be 100% by 2035. It's not going to happen. I mean, just people are not that interested in doing it.
Well, not that I support, you know, banning gas vehicles, and I know that they need to continue to add charging stations, but the chargeability of these cars has improved, where you can charge in 15 minutes a huge percentage. And frankly, I'm looking forward to getting an electric car. I don't do the kind of long distance driving you do. I can't stand the maintenance of the combustion engine and the radiator and the transmission and everything that goes wrong. The torque of driving an electric car, it's remarkable. It's like driving a car from Disneyland out on the streets. So I want to get an electric car for sure. Let's segue over to an article you wrote. Let's see, or have I done everything? You know, let's save that article. Who's going to be our next governor?
Beats the hell out of me. We don't even know who's running yet, for sure. There's still other shoes to be dropped. Every day seems like somebody's either dropping out or dropping in. And, you know, it's remarkable, because at this stage of the game in past gubernatorial elections, we've known who was running. And we've known who was running for quite a while. But here we are. The candidate filing opens up in about a week, scarcely a week from now. They'll start filing their candidacy papers. And we still don't know who's running for the whole package yet. We're still waiting for Rick Caruso to decide, still waiting for Rob Bonta to decide. There are hints of some other people. The mayor of San Jose is a possibility. There are still possibilities there that have not yet said one way or the other. And until you know who's running, it's impossible to try to handicap. You know, it's like a horse race. You got a handicap, and you can't really handicap it if you don't know who the horses are. And we don't know yet who all the horses are. It's impossible. Nobody, if you look at the polls, nobody stands out. Basically, everybody's either low double digits or single digits. Who knows? We had a new candidate come in last week, Tom Spire, I guess you pronounced it. Billionaire denouncing, who comes into office acting like Bernie Sanders, and says he's going to destroy, you know, make big business do right and buy the people, a kind of a populist thing. So he's spending much of his billion-dollar fortune denouncing billionaires, really. So it's a weird situation, but it's all
what,
things.
What
all
party?
Weird, we just don't know who's running yet.
What party is he?
Democrat. He ran for president, you know, a couple of years ago. Tom Steyer. He spent a ton of money running for president. Didn't get anywhere. He spent a ton of money backing Proposition 50 in the recent election in November. And now he's spending a ton of money promoting himself as a populist, kind of quasi-socialist candidate for governor.
Remind me again what Prop 50 was?
Well, Prop 50 is the one that gerrymandered congressional districts in California.
Oh, right.
Democrats. Yeah.
Right. And now it looks like Texas was, their gerrymandering was rejected, and now it looks like it's back on.
It's back on, and California's is on. In the end, I was just reading a new rundown on the old thing. All the states that are changing their congressional districts work out to just about a zero net for either party based on the redistricting. Maybe a little bit of advantage for Republicans in the redistricting wars that have been going on the last couple of months.
Well, when you say the last couple of months, but it's been going on since the guy gerrymander, whatever his name was, came
well,
up.
Well, yeah,
with this.
Sure. I mean, gerrymanders are nothing new. We've had some doozies in California, but the current gerrymander wars of trying to gain some advantage for a specific party by changing the districts in Texas and California and a few other states, it's kind of canceling each other out more or less, and we're winding up with a probably close to a net gain of zero for either party in the redistricting phase of the 2026 elections.
My guest, Dan Walters, you can find him at calmatters.org, syndicated columnist for 95 years. He's been writing forever. When I first heard about Texas and they were doing something that was normally done every 10 years on the consensus, but they were doing it sooner to try to get an edge for the midterm, I kind of winced and I thought, well, you know, if we're all cheating and doing, you know, you might as well follow the rules that everyone's been cheating by. But then I read something about some state in the Northeast that had a considerable percentage of Republicans living in that state. I don't remember exactly, it might have been 30% range, but they only had like 2% of the election. And I thought, well, you know, so it's imbalanced everywhere, I guess.
Well, it actually, California's, just prior to all of this gerrymandering stuff, you know, pre-gerrymandering, the latest gerrymandering, California's districts were more lopsided than those in Texas. More lopsided for Democrats than they were for Republicans in Texas. In other words, Democrats fared better in Texas than Republicans did in California under the old plans before they were changed. That's a whole story into itself, of how California became so lopsided in its congressional districts, even though the redistricting was done by an independent commission rather than by politicians. And that's an interesting story into itself that we should explore sometime. It is pretty interesting. It's a gerrymander, but not a gerrymander for party. It's a gerrymander for ethnicity, basically.
That will be another topic. I like that. The topic of there's so much dissatisfaction, and we're going to take a break here in a minute. And when we come back, my guest, Dan Walters, syndicated columnist, calmatters.org, we're going to talk about a column he wrote about a spate of new studies about the lowdown on California's sky-high living costs. But, you know, I jokingly asked you who's going to be the next governor. I know there's two Republicans, I think, running. One is, speaking of a police officer, one is either a recent or sitting officer, captain, or some high end. And the other one is
Sheriff of Riverside County.
Sheriff, thank you. And then the other one is this guy from England, shaved head, can't think of his name. There were two Republicans, Hilton. I guess.
Name is Hilton.
What's that?
Name is Hilton. He's a former TV talk
right.
show.
Right. And so the, you know, there's so much dissatisfaction in California. We've talked about this in the, you've talked about in the past about how the supermajority in the legislature, do you think people will want to say, hey, you know what? We're not happy with all this high density housing. We're not happy with the state. Do you think there's a chance that Republicans could get a foothold? And is there a chance of electing a Republican governor?
Yeah, there's an outside chance it could happen. Very outside.
But even if they did, you know, the Republican governor is not going to really make the changes that need to be made with if the legislature stays the same?
Well, yeah, I mean, but he has veto power and he has the power of the purse. That's the main power that a governor has, is the power of the purse. He can pretty well dictate what the state spends and where it spends and how much it spends. That is almost impossible for to be overturned on that topic.
Interesting. Okay. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. My guest is Dan Walters. You can find his columns at calmatters.org, calmatters.org. We'll take a quick break, come back with a piece he wrote on November 21st, 2025, about a spate of new studies giving a lowdown on California's sky-high living costs. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.